TSN in Montreal. Join us, Tony. I mean, it has probably been a very frustrating few months for your fan base, your audience, because, you know, the Habs were a very good team last year. They started the season outstanding. And then ever since that November 25th injury to Carey Price, you know, the three games after they were good. But since then, everything's fallen apart. How come?
It really has fallen apart. And a friend of mine brought this. He said this to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, Tony, I don't think I've ever seen in the National Hockey League a team in first after 20 games and for the next 20 be the worst team in the National Hockey League. And I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, I can't think of that either. But it really, you know, the wheels have fallen off is an understatement. I mean, nothing, and I repeat, nothing is working right now. They look like a bunch of guys that don't even know how to play hockey anymore. Their defensive coverage is atrocious. Their turnovers are just brutal. Their breakout is awful. Their entering the offensive zone is just too predictable. Their execution is way off. Their goal scoring is 2 goals a game or less. The goaltending they're getting in Carey Price's absence is not good enough. I mean, their power play has been awful for over 2 seasons now. It's just, it's hard, it's very hard to explain, but I would say this. I would say that there has to be something going on in that room because they're just not pulling together. They're not, and they have worked as a unit and as a group and as a team over the past couple of years. But this year, once Carey Price went down with that injury, once Mike Condon was a little shaky, and then they got Scrivens and he was a little shaky too, the team sagged thereafter. And it's almost like they stopped believing. And then it got worse after that. Whereas, like I said, it's just there's something wrong. There's something wrong. They don't look like they're a unit. They don't look like they're pulling in the same direction.
Tony, when you describe a team like this, especially a team like the Canadiens, whose best players, for the most part, aren't young, inexperienced kids like we have here in Edmonton.
Yeah.
The guys with a few years under their belt, they know how to straighten out the ship when it's off course.
Yeah.
So if that's not happening, and correct me if I'm wrong, I start looking at where the message is coming from, and that's Michel Therrien.
Well, look, you're not wrong. I'll tell you this. Up until last week, I was saying you can't fire the coach every time something goes wrong. But then they lost a big game versus the Bruins last week, when everyone expected the Canadiens to bounce back, and it was like, okay, they'll win this game, and they always beat Boston, and things should go fine. And the Canadiens lost, I believe, by a score of 4-1. And I remember tweeting that night that, is it all on Michel Therrien? No. Have they stopped working for him? No. Has he lost this team? I don't believe so. But I mentioned, you know, you can't trade 20 players. So when you lose 17 of 21, which I think it was, and I think now they're at 19 of 24 or something like that, but when you had lost all those games, you have to do something because it was bleeding. And if you don't stop the bleeding, you're going to end up dying. So I basically alluded to the fact that something had to happen, which was whether it was the coach or not the coach, he had to go. That's 1 week ago. A couple of days later, Marc Bergevin calls a press conference, stands up and says, I met with the players. I have total confidence in the players. I have total confidence in the coach. He gave the coach another vote of confidence. He said that he assured us that he would not fire his coach or any member of his coaching staff this season, and he assumed all responsibility. He said, it's on me. Blame me. And look, he alleviated the pressure off of his players and the coaching staff. He made them breathe easier. He was accountable. It's commendable. It's a form of leadership. I get it. It's great. However, in my opinion, Marc Bergevin made 2 mistakes that night. Number one, I don't know why he gave the coach the vote of confidence. And he could have simply said, as Pierre Maguire said to me last night on TSN 690, all he could have said was something to the effect of, this is professional sports. It's results-oriented. You're judged and evaluated on every day, every practice, and every game. Today he has my confidence, and just ended it there. What I think happened was by giving that vote of confidence and saying, yeah, the players are great, now all of a sudden, the players are like, well, we're fine. The coach is like, well, we're fine. And Marc Bergevin is getting all the blame. I don't know if he should have done that, because now it's given the guys a reason to check out, and it's given the coach maybe a reason not to work as hard as he should. And look, I don't know how hard he's working or how hard he's not working, but I got to tell you, I've seen coaches fired for a lot less than this. So have you guys in Edmonton. I mean, this is a disaster. I mean, the Canadians have been building and have been growing for the past couple of years. To not make the playoffs this year and to totally collapse without Carey Price, you know, if Carey Price was the only reason you were keeping it together, then A, either your personnel is not good, but Marc Bergevin believes that his personnel is very good. Or, if that's the case, well, then you're not doing the job. Like, what have these guys learned?
Tony Marin,
you're 50 games into the season, and they look like a bunch of guys who haven't learned anything.
Well, that was going to be my next question. As Tony Marinaro joins us, a radio host on TSN 690 in Montreal. The question about the Habs going into the season was, do they have enough offense? And I think that obviously that's been answered somewhat when Carey Price goes down, suddenly they can't score to save their life. And that's on the GM to look at his team because a coach can't make guys who are 10-goal scorers become 20-goal scorers, you know, very often. It just doesn't happen. So the GM definitely has to take some blame. But Michel Therrien, you know, there are some people who felt like he weren't as welcome before, Tony. Has he softened his stance at all, or do you think his players, you know, maybe his hard driving style doesn't work with this group?
No, look, he's softened his stance. He's not quite as hard nosed as he used to be. If anything, he's being actually criticized in Montreal for being too soft because he doesn't hold players accountable anymore. You know, he used to bench players that would be, you know, give up the puck and it would lead to a goal or have a really bad period, and he benched them for 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, and he did it with PK Subban in previous years. Now he doesn't bench anybody. He doesn't scratch anybody. The scratches are always the fourth line guys, the usual suspects. If anything, he's too soft. But, you know, I totally agree with you that, yeah, Marc Bergevin hasn't done a great job of going out and get primary scoring, top six scoring. He's tried. He's taken, you know, chances and didn't cost him much on a Michael Ryder and then a Danny Briere and then a P.A. Parenteau and then after that an Alex Semin. It never worked out in any of those cases. But this team, one of the things I found that was the wrong approach over the past couple of years, they go into Arizona last year, they end up squeaking by a win 2-1, and they're trapping. They go to Buffalo, and they trap. They go to Edmonton, and they trap. They go to Calgary, and they trap. They go to Columbus, they trap. They go to Carolina, and it's so defensive that they're always trying to squeak out a 2-1 win. Now, in my opinion, even though they don't have great firepower, on paper they're stronger than some teams in the National Hockey League. And you know as well as I do, the players, you know, they'll play defense for the good of the team. But these guys like to pad their stats every now and then. These guys like to play in wide open hockey games. Playing in wide open hockey games is fun. And when you play like that all the time, at a certain point, some guys have enough. But when you're playing defense all the time, and you're conditioned to play defense, and you're relying on Carey Price and conditioned and programmed that way, well, the second that Carey Price goes down and his backups don't make the stops early on, and now all of a sudden, instead of having a 1-0 lead under Carey Price for the longest time, you've fallen behind 1 or 2 goals, now you don't know what to do. You don't know how to open up because you haven't played that way for the last 3 years. That's something that I think that he did. And it's really backfired right now. But once again, I don't know if Marc Bergevin is going to fire his coach. As Bob McKenzie said to us earlier this morning, he wouldn't be the first one to go back on his word. I don't think he will. There's a sector of the fan base that's hoping that actually that he doesn't do anything and things stay the way they are. because they'd love to be in a spot that Edmonton's been in the past couple of years of getting that number one pick overall. The Canadiens had 3 wins in December, I believe. 2 or 3 wins. And 3 wins in the month of January. If they play like this in February or March, they're going to finish at the bottom. And you know what? A lot of people think that this is exactly what they need, because you can't keep drafting 10, 11, 15, 20, 25. They had 1 year with Gallagher with the Galchenyuk at 3. Of course, you remember that year, and Yakupov went to the Oilers. And they had Carey Price back in 2005. The Canadiens need to be in that top 5 or 6 where there's going to be players that can fill a void. And so you don't want to send out a message there that you're going to do whatever you can to lose. But at the same time, there's some people that believe that this losing streak is maybe a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, Tony, that's always a great debate with the fan base. You know, I don't believe any hockey player ever goes out through the gate to lose. We've seen that. We've had that situation here for years in Edmonton. If the Canadiens, if Bergevin decides we're not good enough, we're not going to make it, who does he keep and who goes? Because if you're going to go to the bottom, you might want to get rid of some expensive pieces who are getting on in age. I don't see a Subban or a Pacioretty falling into that category. But who's susceptible on that roster in your mind?
Okay, good question. Susceptible are going to be guys that are UFA, because they're probably going to end up getting money on the market, because teams usually overpay UFAs. So Tom Gilbert is a UFA. I don't know how much money he's going to get or he's not going to get, but regardless, he's very expendable in the Montreal Canadiens. They have people knocking on the door, and Mark Barbera's made a spot for himself, and they have kids playing in St. John's. In my opinion, Gilbert will be dealt because he won't be back next season. Dale Weiss is UFA. He had a good first couple of months with the Montreal Canadiens, but with wingers like Daniel Carr, Sven Andrighetto, Nikita Sherbak, a center-slash-winger in Mike McCarron, Dale Weiss is expendable. I expect him to go as well if the Canadiens are selling. Other than that, the Canadiens have had a constant problem down the middle where they're too small and they're not good enough. And Thomas Plekanec has just been extended, or was extended a couple of months ago, 2 years of $6 million. David Desharnais hasn't had a good season. One of those two wouldn't surprise me. And I don't know if it'll happen this year, but next year, if the Canadiens are out of it, Andrei Markov's in the final year of his contract. And guys, he's slowed down. And, you know, if the Canadiens have a chance, if he says to the Canadiens, next year I want to retire in a Canadiens uniform, I think it will happen that way. But if he says, I want to play a couple of more years in the league, well, either this year or next year, he'll be dealt. But really, I think they're going to wait right until 1 week before the deadline. They've never been a team that has sold players early on. They usually wait. By that time, Carey Price has probably come back. If they lose the next 3, 4, 5, maybe they sell a little earlier. But if they win a couple, they may actually end up waiting till the deadline.
Tony, always great to catch up with you. Oiler fans are texting in after listening to you describe the Habs. They thought you were describing the Oilers. So, sadly, your team's play right now is mirroring a team that has struggled for the last decade. So that's how bad it's become in Montreal. And I agree with you. I don't see it changing suddenly overnight because Carey Price isn't coming back anytime soon.
No, and look, I would shut him down at this point. If you're going to lose a few more, shut him down. And I know you don't want to send that message to your fan base that you're losing games, but if you start trading away a couple of players and replace them by a couple of American Hockey League players, and the spirit remains that it is, and the mentality is not a good one right now, the confidence is very shaken, they're very fragile. Once again, if they slip and they end up getting in the top 3 or top 4, you can turn this thing with a core of Price, Pacioretty, and Subban, you can turn it around right away.
Tony, we'll talk again soon, man. Have a great night.
Cheers, bud.